Hello and welcome to episode 34 of the Tent Talks podcast. My name's Joe, I'm a Beaver Scout leader from the West Midlands, so let's talk scouting. This is the Tent Talks podcast. So joining me this month on the podcast is Hannah, also known as Explore Scout 84. I'm sure she'll explain the number and the name later on. Now, as lots of people descend into South Korea for the World Scout Jamboree of 2023, I thought I'd catch up with someone who went to West Virginia in 2019. Hello, Hannah.
Hello, Drew. Nice to meet you. Yeah. It's lovely to be on here.
Yeah, and just before we get started, where is it that you're dialing in from today, Hannah?
I'm dialing in from Adelboden in Switzerland. So it's just the village next to Tannersteg where Kiske is. And we've got our chalet basically down the corner, which is very nice. So still international 4 years later.
Just quickly introduce yourself and where are you from when you're in the UK?
So I'm Hannah. I'm a beaver and a scout leader. And I live at home in Gloucestershire, but currently at university in Birmingham.
Okay. And so what are some of your memories from the World Scout Jamboree 4 years ago?
So, yeah, 4 years ago, that's a while now, but it was amazing. First off, it was just such a lovely environment. 45,000 scouts from all across the world. Like, I still am not over the fact that I got to camp for 10 days internationally. It was just amazing. One of my fondest memories is we had lots of lightning storms, which I'm sure in South Korea, you'll get lots of rainstorms. But in one thunderstorm, we just sat, played cards with a bunch of Americans all night until about midnight. And I know it's a very silly story, but they gave us, because we were feeling hungry, these sort of like custard pots, but they refused to give us spoons. So instead we ate it with the lid. And I don't know why they never gave us a spoon to eat our pudding from. But I just remember being sat under a metal tent in a thunderstorm when it was chucking it down. We had like a lightning warning constantly going off, like, get in shelter, get in shelter. They cancelled like the base camp bash, which was like a big, like 4,000 people would go under a tent and have a good old party. And we just sat under a metal tent playing cards, watching the thunderstorm, watching the lightning come across all the mountains. And it was just breathtaking to think a week before I wouldn't have known these people. So that's one of my memories, which I always think about every now and then.
Okay, so for those who have never experienced one, what is a jamboree? And how is a World Scout Jamboree different from any other jamboree?
So a World Scout Jamboree happens once every 4 years. As Drew mentioned before, this year it's in South Korea. And then 4 years ago, the one I went on was in West Virginia in America. So it's about 10 to 12 days where everyone from across the world who's in a scouting country can come together and just experience a different culture event. It's a giant camp. So think sort of like your Essex Jamboree, your local sort of UK scouting, but triple it, double it, quadruple it, because instead of just having a couple of hundred people, there are 45,000 people. There were just alone from the UK, 4,000 people who went. So when you go, you'll go in a unit usually. So there'll be 36 young people who are 14 to 18 and four leaders. And normally you'll go in your counties. So when I was selected to go, I was in the Shropshire and Gloucestershire Joint County, which was Unit 82, the best unit, may I say. So it's also different from your usual jamborees because we have a massive opening ceremony, a huge closing ceremony. And in the middle, we also normally have sort of a cultural celebration day. So everyone from each of their countries showcases something about it. So we did maypole dancing. We had cups of tea on the go. We had some British food. I think we bought Cadbury chocolate, which was nice. And we got to showcase our countries and our heritage on one day, which I don't think usually you do at normal camps or just your local camp. And then you could go around and experience everyone else's culture. So it's a lot more friendlier and it's more about the size and visiting another completely different place. And I think another part of the World Scout Jamboree, which is different from your local jamborees, is all the fundraising you do. So it cost me £4,000 to go out. And I fundraised all of that over a year and a half. So it's the pre-jamboree and the jamboree, and then after the jamboree, you come back with so many stories.
So talk me through the fundraising, sort of, what did you do? Did you do it alone? Did you do it as a unit? How did the fundraising work?
So I did a lot of individual fundraising, whether that be from craft fairs to summer fetes, selling scrunchies, lots of different craft items. I got really into my paracord over my fundraising season.
I do love paracord.
Yes. I made like these cool bottle holders. It was really good. So I did a lot of individual fundraising, getting out in the community, raffles. And then as a group, we did quite a few bag packs. So we went into the local Waitrose on Christmas Eve and we'd do bag packing, and that was nice. And we'd get donations from packing their bags. And then some other group fundraising we did. We also did some group raffles. We helped out at a vintage fair with car parking, and then we set up like a good stall. And then at that stall, we also got some fundraising money. But it was a lot of getting out into the community and telling people what you were doing, and then they would donate.
So describe to me, your plane, it touches down in America. I don't know which airport you used, but what does that process feel like, and what happened over the next few minutes, hours, days?
So I remember we flew into JFK, and it was one of the hottest days in New York they'd had all day. And then they were having another hot day the day after. So we stepped off the plane just to heat. So we were full of excitement about 10 o'clock at night local time. We'd been up all night on the plane on our 7-hour flight to step off into heat. And just we were all so excited and happy to be there. It was incredible. Then we went through customs and we got out the other side and we got onto our coach, which was air conditioned, which was fantastic news. Drove to, I think we stayed at Pace University, and we were joined by some other units as well who'd flown in quite late at night. I think they'd also flown from Heathrow or from Manchester. So all across the country, quite a few units had all come together, and we'd met just waiting in the line at Pace University to get our room dorm keys. All so excited, but so worn out, just ready for the next day, ready to get our rest and ready to continue with our adventures, because we never stopped. It was, we stepped foot off the plane and then we just kept going until we stepped off the coach back in the UK, back to our friends and family.
Did you go straight to the Jamboree, or did you explore some of what New York has to offer before you went to the Jamboree?
So we had a day in New York. So as a unit, we decided we would go visit the 9/11 memorial, which was very powerful to see. We also headed to Central Park, which was nice, and we got ice cream and we hid in the shade from the heat for a bit. We went to, I think it was Applebee's for lunch, and we got like proper American style burgers, fries. They gave us big jugs of Coca-Cola in like giant jugs with ice. I don't think I've ever drank so much fizzy pop at lunch, but it was so good. We also saw Times Square and got to go in some of the touristy shops. We just generally walked around New York staring up at the skyscrapers, witnessing how beautiful it was before heading to a campsite and facing reality for 10 days of camping where we wouldn't quite get the city life anymore.
You explaining that just makes me so jealous that I did not go.
There's always next time.
But you can only experience it once as a participant, you know.
True, yeah.
What was the number one favourite thing to happen while you were away in West Virginia?
Ooh. I think it would be the whitewater rafting. We did whitewater rafting one of the days on camp, and we got shuttled to a river and we got sort of chucked onto these rafts. Not fully chucked on, but we got grouped onto these rafts.
Yeah.
And we just had to start paddling. And they just explained what was happening as we were going down and we were on the water. But I remember we got to get off the boats quite a lot and just float behind the boats. And to be surrounded by trees through this river, it was just breathtaking to just look at the nature slightly further away from the campsite, but still in West Virginia, and just experience proper whitewater rafting, which you wouldn't get in the UK, just on one of our days on site. So the whitewater rafting was my favourite part, but all of it was great.
Okay, and Have you got any other sort of funny or memorable moments from the camp?
I do. This is a very silly thing we did, but we made friends with a bunch of Americans from Florida, and they had these plastic flamingos outside of their, like, on their campsite. They had like a gate with plastic flamingos. And one night we decided we would steal one because a scout is to be trusted. However, we forgot that rule, so to speak. So we took this plastic flamingo from their event shelter and walked it back to our campsite about 5 minutes away. And soon the Floridians, they realized, and they came running. You could hear them run down towards our campsite to rescue this flamingo, which we call Brian by this point. And they demanded Brian the flamingo back. And we went, okay, but as long as we can take him to the base camp party that evening. So we went to the base camp party with our flamingo and a bunch of Florida scouts. And we had a great time. I think we did the conga with Brown. We did the YMCA, the Macarena, all with a plastic flamingo. Everyone was loving it. And then we had to return the flamingo. So we tried to hide the flamingo. However, we did inevitably give in and gave it back to the Florida Scouts, as we should have.
Just so I can picture this, how big was this flamingo?
It was about sort of A4 size of paper, maybe A3. It was quite a hefty flamingo.
Okay, so not impossible to hide.
Not impossible to hide. I think at one point we tucked it under our jumper. It was quite obvious you could see this flamingo. However, yeah, we pretended it still wasn't there. I have to send a photo of this flamingo.
And I will make sure that I share that on our social media so our listeners can see that.
And the next day we had a little ceremony where they handed over the flamingo and we got to keep him. So for the rest of the camp, because we then went into Washington, D.C. and then went to Canada afterwards, we took our flamingo with us and we set him up a little Instagram account for his little travels. And he's currently residing with Liam in Shropshire.
You mentioned how the scouts from across the world at these jamborees. So where is the furthest distant scout that you met?
I did meet a couple of Australian scouts. They had bright yellow backpacks, so they weren't hard to miss. However, I didn't manage to swap Maneka with them, but I got an Australian badge, which was incredible because I wouldn't have got that otherwise. We also met some scouts from Taiwan on the first day, and we played a game with them as we were heading towards one part of the campsite. And it was this game with like a 3x3 grid, and you had a ball and you had to throw it over the hoops. So we all just got stuck in, all played together, not fully understanding the rules, but we had a good laugh about it. It didn't matter that we didn't speak the same language. We just had fun. We just pointed, we just played. And that was the scouting spirit coming to life on the very first day.
And that's a big part of jamborees, isn't it? You know, you may not speak the same language. Have you got any stories of when you've communicated non-verbally or by some other means with people that potentially don't speak English?
We were at one of the base camp bashes, or I think it was the opening ceremony, and the music came on and we were doing, they put Just Dance on. So we were all doing Just Dance together next to some, I think they were Italian scouts and German scouts, and we were just all dancing along to Just Dance. Not talking, not communicating, just dancing.
What are your top tips for any explorers traveling to South Korea this year?
So I've got quite a few. One of my top tips is just to get out there. No matter what you're doing, just explore, just get out there, just get talking to anyone. Everyone you meet is going to be lovely and everyone will be kind and considerate. And you'll never know what you're missing out on until you talk to that person you didn't want to talk to originally. So first off, talk to everyone, talk to anyone, experience and just live in the moment. The second thing is swap badges. If you're really into swapping badges, take as many as you can. I swapped so many badges out there, and I've got a full camp blanket of probably about 200 international badges, which is amazing.
Having done a jamboree, it wasn't a World Scout jamboree, but having done a jamboree, you can't take too many badges to swap.
No, never.
if you can try and get, if you can try and just get a bulk load of UK flag badges, if you can try and get your district and county badges, they may not mean a lot to you because you see them all day every day, but that will mean the absolute world to somebody that you meet, whether it's in South Korea, whether it's at any other jamboree.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I took some name tapes and some old scouting badges, which we no longer used, and everyone loved them because it was uniform badges, which instead of like your unit and your fundraising badge, everyone liked to see different uniform badges. I have some from, I think it's Chile, and to be able to go back home and look up to see how I had to earn that Chilean badge was just very cool, to sort of immerse myself in scouting in Chile without ever stepping foot in Chile.
That sounds absolutely amazing.
Experience the World Village as well. I'm not sure what it'll be called at this jamboree, but in America there was a village which each country had a tent, and you could go around and talk to scouts from that country, and you got to try food, you got to see how scouting worked, and you got to see how they experience day-to-day life. And we took about a day going through these marquees, but I think that was one of my favorite days because it was quite a chill day. We weren't rushing to do activities, and we just got to meet so many new people and find out so many different fun facts we wouldn't have found out otherwise. I tried Argentina tea. That was amazing. I tried some Vegemite from the Australian tent. We did pop our heads into the UK tent to say hello and to feel at home for a bit. But that was one of my favourite days, was visiting each country's tent in their world village, and also trying the different food trucks as well. That was nice.
Of the 10, 12 days that you're over there, how much is structured activity and how much is sort of free time, if you like?
So the way it worked for when I went out is we left in the morning, we made breakfast together in our unit and in our patrols, and had a nice little schedule of who was washing up and who was cooking. We'd have breakfast, we'd make lunch, then we got free time until about 5, 6 o'clock to go out and do the activities, whether we joined a queue to go on the high ropes or to go down the zip wire, or if we just found some friends from another country and went on a wander with them and play some games, or just walked and learnt about technology. So the days were fairly structured with the food. So as a unit, we made sure that we cooked together in the morning for breakfast and made our lunches together. But then once we'd eaten, it was free time. We got to go out, explore, see whatever we wanted to do, join queues to go on different activities, from archery, rifle shooting, to the high ropes, to zip wire. And then we came back together in the evening, told our stories, cooked dinner, ate dinner together as a unit. So it was fairly loosely structured. We had our meals and our patrol time. So each patrol had a set time they had to do stuff. And if it was your turn that morning, that meant that you had a bit less free time, but it meant another day you might have more. And then in the evenings, it was a free-for-all. You sort of saw what you were doing in the local area and decided, oh, do I want to go join that disco? And normally we would, or we'd play cards, or we'd even have sometimes in the evenings, we'd go and eat dinner with our neighbouring camps. So one night we ate dinner with the Denmark, who were sat next to us, who were camped up next to us. And then another night we had pizza with the Netherlands and the Florida unit I was on about earlier. So it varied a lot, but you got a lot of free time during the day and during the evenings to do what you wanted. Great question. So it's Floriscar 84 doesn't actually come from the unit I was in. I was in Unit 82, the joint unit with Gloucestershire and Shropshire. However, it's Floriscar 84 comes from my original selection day weekend. So way back in 2017, in November, we had our selection camp and we were each given a number so that when we did activities, they would be able to give us points depending on how well they thought we did in a range of activities. And mine was consequently 84. So when I got my place to go off to the 24th World Scout Jamboree, I decided I wanted to document my journey. So therefore, Explorer Scout 84 was born. Explorer Scout because I was a scout exploring the world, and also I was an Explorer Scout at the time, and 84 from my original number from selection camp on day one. Originally, I wanted my blog to be fairly anonymous, so that's why I kept it without my name in, and now it's just stuck ever since.
Some technical difficulties earlier.
That's all right. Thank you for having me.
for anyone that's heading to Gilwell Union, I am hoping to be there, and I believe so are you.
Yes, I'm also hoping to be there.
As long as my work doesn't get in the way, but I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that I will be there for Gilwell Reunion. For anyone that doesn't know, you should know, but for anyone that doesn't, Gilwell Reunion is on the 1st to the 3rd of September this year, 2023. Thank you, Hannah, for joining me.
Thank you for having me, and I hope that everyone has an amazing time out in Korea this summer.
So anyone heading to South Korea, I do have an amazing time, and make sure that you enjoy yourself. It will be worth it, and everyone back home is going to be really jealous of you. Everyone will be really jealous of you, really wishing that they had the chance to go to such an amazing jamboree. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Until next time, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Hannah, for joining me this month on the Tent Talks podcast. As we said, both me and Hannah will both be at Gilwell Reunion from the 1st to the 3rd of September. So make sure, if you are heading to Reunion, make sure you come and say hello. And if you can't find us, drop us a message on social media. Both of our social media links are in the description of the podcast. Until next time, goodbye.